Jesus. I'm going to read from chapter 3, verses 1 through 13, and verses 20 and 21 of Genesis chapter 3. This being the infallible word of God, let us hear it, God's people, to hear his word read. From Genesis chapter 3, beginning verse 1, reading through verse 13 and verses 20 and 21. Hear now God's word. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God made. He said to the woman, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." The serpent said to the woman, "Ye shall not surely die. For God does know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where art thou?" He said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom thou gavest to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." And the Lord said to the woman, "What is this that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." Skipping to verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. May the Lord bless the reading of his sacred word to our hearts and to our minds. Once again, Lord Jesus, we pray that thou would be with us as we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through thy word, which is heard through the reading of it and much more through the preaching of it. For these things we ask in your name. In the name of Jesus. Amen. When you read Genesis chapters 1, 2, 3, all the way up to 7, 8, and 9, you find that they tend to be pretty brief, with so much going on at the very beginning, the creation happening, the marriage of the man and the woman, the fall of man from paradise, the ousting of them from paradise, and so on. There's a lot happening in such a brief period of time, but that's why it's really important for us, one, to believe that it's more than just a mere story. Every word practically and every line is pregnant with meaning, even in the genealogies. You get that. But it's extremely important for us to dive into the depth of Scripture just at least a bit, at least get wet, at least get our heads under the water there, and to really see what lies beneath, because it's very important. Again, we know it's not a scientific book, but again, when it comes to origins, science can only speculate, science can only presume, science can only, and much science today, rejects the supernatural, so it's limited to the material, it's limited to the empirical. It doesn't realize that it doesn't take account of God and the supernatural. The creation was a supernatural event, and therefore it doesn't subject itself to scientific inquiry, and science cannot contradict it because this is fact, whereas science, when you get to origins, is not fact, it's theory, right? The theory of evolution, it's not a fact. And you can't prove a theory. You don't prove or disprove a theory. I don't know where these people are in the classes and they educate these students that say, this is a fact, the fact of evolution. No, it's not. It's not a fact. It's a theory of evolution. You know, even E equals MC squared is a theory. Do you realize that? It's almost a fact. They're not quite sure yet that it's everywhere the same thing, but they're pretty sure it's a fact, but it's still a theory, Einstein's theory. E equals MC squared. Theory, not a fact yet. Well, the theory of evolution is even worse than that. It's a theory, and you can't prove or disprove a theory. It only gets supporting facts or facts that don't support it. But you don't prove a theory. But who knows? Anyway, this is history. This is historical fact. Not scientific fact, historical fact. Only God was there. And he's telling us what's happening. And what he's telling us is so tight, if you will, so compact, that there's a lot of information in a short distance through Scripture, a lot of things happening. And so I want to talk about that. It's also a supernatural book. It's a spiritual book. So there's it's a historical fact, but it's redemptive history as well. And so I want to get into that a little bit with you and mention a few things about clothes. Because it's mentioned here that it was clothing. That's the first time it happened, right? There was no clothing before at the creation, and then there was clothing after the fall. I want to talk about the garden event a little bit. I want to talk about the nature of grace and how grace is operational here. In the fourth place, I want to talk about that Adam and Eve had no covering. In the fifth place, I want to talk about their exposure. God exposes them. And finally, in the sixth, I want to talk about setting the stage. God is setting the stage for salvation here in Genesis chapter 3. So we have all that going on. And we read about Adam and Eve being naked when they were created on the sixth day. And they were naked. And they weren't ashamed. Why not? Why weren't they ashamed? Well, because sin had not entered the picture yet. But after sin enters the picture, they realized, they knew they were naked before. But now they realize something else. Not only are they naked, but they are corrupt. But they don't want to admit to corruption. So they just said to God, I'm going to hide from you because we heard your voice and we were naked. But that's not really why they ran and hid. Besides, didn't they sew aprons, fig leaves? Put aprons on? They weren't anymore. They hid anyway. Why is that? They had something on. They had a covering. But they still said we were naked. So we hid. So there's something going on here that is a little deeper. It's not as obvious upon first blush reading it. It's interesting that they were not ashamed at first, right? Well, what do you think it's going to be like in heaven? Are we going to be ashamed in heaven if we have no clothes? No. No clothes in heaven. Right? What kind of clothes? I mean, you don't get into the watching the television and thinking you're going to get like the ghost. You know, you see these ghosts with all clothes on. You know, God's not handing out Levi's jeans to disembodied spirits and stuff. There's no clothes. There's no shame. There's no clothes needed. I like to think there are robes, shining, beautiful, light like angels. But, you know, they certainly aren't Levi's. Just, you know, jeans, Wranglers, or whatever you wear. And none of that in heaven. I'm not handing out those kind of things, right? And the reason why is there's no shame. And the reason why there's no shame is why? Because there's no corruption. That's why we're ashamed. Because of corruption. We think it's because of the imperfections, the blemishes, and all that stuff of our bodies. It's not essentially that. It's because of sin and sin's corruption that we are ashamed. And so God hands out clothes to us. In the beginning, he clothed Adam and Eve, and there's a point to that. Adam and Eve tried it on their own, and it didn't work. God had to do it. God had to provide. And so the first thing we want to point up that in the garden is that God provides clothes. Acceptable, right? The skins that cover Adam and Eve. What is being said there, what's being taught, is that God provides grace. He provides grace even in clothes. Clothes are a gift from God to cover our shame because of sin and death, because of corruption. Not covering the blemishes in our bodies, but covering our shame because of sin and because of corruption. So God provides clothes to indicating that he is going to provide the cover for our corruption through Jesus Christ. Now, Adam didn't know this yet, and Eve didn't know this, but they did know that God had to provide clothes. And that was satisfactory, more satisfactory than Adam and Eve's designs. Because God is providing grace. Clothes are his gift to mankind. And they indicate that he will cover the nakedness of our souls. Because that's what's really happening here in Genesis chapter 3 with Adam and Eve. Now, you say, well, wait a minute. Clothes are universal. The wicked have clothes too. Yes, they do. Clothing is universal, but grace is not. So the wicked have clothes without grace. And what do they do with clothes without grace? Well, they use them for vainglory purposes, for example, right? They think that through their clothing, through covering their bodies, they are covering their sin and corruption, that they are beautiful. And so they use clothes, which are a gift from God, for wicked purposes, for their own vainglory. And not only that, but they use clothes or lack thereof, to expose themselves. Again, because of the lust of the eyes and the pride of life and the lust of the flesh, they use these things, which clothes are a gift of God for a covering, not only to cover our nakedness physically, but to symbolically cover our shame due to sin and death within our members. But the wicked who do not have grace do not realize that it is a gift of God. They abuse the gift of God that is in clothing, and they use it for their own selfish purposes. And through their clothing, or lack thereof, or their nudity, comes pornography and all kinds of gross sins. Because of the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, these gross manifestations appear. And now it's even rampant, as you know, on the internet. Because they do not receive the gift of God, which in clothing, in the right way. But they use it for their own despicable practices. And you know, we would too. We would too. Because we have lust as well. The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes is with us as well. We are no different by nature, right? So the only way to overcome vainglory by wearing clothes or not wearing clothes or exposing oneself or not exposing, the only way to overcome the lust of the day and the temptation to move into or towards that sensuality and sexuality and even further pornography, the only way to overcome it is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Because it's in our nature. We cannot possibly overcome it ourselves, in ourselves and by our nature or by willpower. It's only by the blood of Jesus Christ that we are able to overcome our propensities, our proclivities to such things. It's embedded in us. We can't help ourselves. We need to be clothed in the righteousness of Christ. It comes through the work of the Holy Spirit within. Let's talk a little bit about this garden scene. Verse 8 we read that they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Well, apparently, God is manifesting himself, right? Theologians call this a theophany, right? Like God manifested himself when he manifested himself to Jacob. Jacob wrestled with the Lord. Abraham, the Lord visited with Abraham. The Lord manifests himself in Old Testament during Old Testament times in a variety of different ways and scenes. Well, here he's manifested himself in the garden, and he's walking there in the cool of the day. And Adam and Eve hide from him, right? He's not hiding from a spirit who was not there. They're hiding from the presence of the Lord who's manifested himself in a visible, audible fashion. Apparently, they had fellowship. There was communication on a daily basis. How often, I don't know, but probably once a day at least, God would visit with them. For this was Adam's house, a house with God. Paradise, right? Was Adam's house with God. God was with him. God was present in his home. And they walked together and they talked together. And they had fellowship and communion, and it was just a wonderful thing until this happened, right? And God, and they go hide, and God calls out to them, "Where art thou, Adam?" Now, God knew where Adam was, right? He's God. So he's asking a question, where art thou, Adam? And Adam doesn't answer that directly, does he? But he says, we heard your voice, and we were afraid because we were naked, so we hid. See, that's not a, where are you? That's not answering, where are you? That's answering, why you did what you did. And he understood that God was prying. Because we have met before in the cool of the day, during the day. We have walked and we have talked. Now, why are you gone? Why are you hiding? That was the intent of the question. Why are you hiding, Adam? And Adam answers it. Because we were naked, because we were afraid, because... And so, that's what's going on. And that's where God is kind of coming from and probing Adam. It says in the cool of the day, literally the Hebrew says or means in the breeze of the day. It wasn't a rushing, a stormy breeze. It wasn't a hurricane force wind. It was a cool, calm breeze, like a morning breeze or an afternoon or evening breeze. So he meets with, we don't know when it was. It was later in the morning after they partook or later in the afternoon. It certainly wasn't the next day. It was that day that they fell, that they disobeyed, that he meets with them, God meets with them, sometime that day. But what we want to pay attention to is the graciousness, the lovingness. Like I said, the clothes that God provides for Adam and Eve are a gift. Clothing is a gift from God. But it needs to be accompanied by grace, or else it's abused, or else it's not seen that way and used in a different fashion for vainglory or worse. They heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees. And the Lord called out to Adam and said, where art thou? And he said, I heard the voice, your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And of course, the woman did as well. And then God says, who told you you were naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whoever commanded thee that thou should not eat? See how gracious God is? He doesn't condemn the man right away. He doesn't get all angry at him and what he did. He doesn't say, come out, start yelling at him, come out wherever you are. He knew where he was. But he's gracious. He's given Adam a chance to explain himself, to confess himself, although Adam at this point doesn't know what confession is. He could not possibly know confession because he doesn't know what forgiveness is. This never happened before. He knows nothing of forgiveness. He never sinned before. So God is drawing him out. God is bringing things out to Adam and to Eve and to us. And what he's doing is he's setting the stage for salvation. He's setting the stage for the promise of salvation through another. But at this point, Adam knows nothing of that yet. All he knows is that he has done a terrible thing. He and Eve have disobeyed God. And they ran away from him. But God is bringing Adam to realize, slowly to realize, in the gentle breeze of the day, Adam, why are you hiding? Did you eat of that tree like I commanded you not to? He's He's telling Adam, come out. God could have appeared right in where he was hiding, but he didn't. He gives Adam the opportunity to come out, to bring himself before the Lord. God calls out first. He appears first. And Adam responds because God puts it in his heart to respond. And so rather than continue to hide or run away further, he comes out and appears before the Lord. Now, he does here make certain, God makes certain, that Adam realized what a fool he has been. What he has done is terrible. And he's acted foolishly. And God is also readying Adam and Eve to confess, because they have sinned, grace. He's offered grace in the gift of clothing. He's offered this gracious moment for him to appear, for Adam and Eve to appear before him. And he's about to offer more grace to Adam and to Eve as he draws out from them an admission first of sin, leading to a confession later. All this is according to the gracious operation of God. He wants to have Adam and Eve realize that they have sinned terribly. God does not, his grace does not avoid sin or push it aside or make less of it like we tend to do. God wants to bring it up and he wants to bring it out and he wants us to face it head on because his holiness demands that. So he's not going to push it aside because he loves Adam and Eve and because he purposes to save them through Jesus Christ. But he wants their sin brought up. Think about it. You who do not want to bring up your sin and bring out your sin and want to bury it and hide it, which we all tend to do. That's our nature to do that because we're ashamed. God doesn't do that. God's grace and God's gracious operation in us and with us is to pull up that stuff, to uproot that stuff, expose that stuff, and get rid of it. And that's what God is doing with Adam and Eve. Right? He's not letting them off the hook in any way. But he wants them to realize how terrible they have acted. And what they have done. Grace does that. Grace does not cover up. Grace does not say, love, 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 all is love, God is love, Christ is love, and he loves you just the way you are, without also confronting you first that you are not lovely. That it's only by the sovereign grace of God that anyone is alive and well. But as I said, Adam doesn't understand all this just yet, right? He doesn't understand forgiveness. He never sinned. He doesn't understand confession. Because he doesn't understand forgiveness, he doesn't understand confession. What's there to confess? And so notice that when the Lord comes, they immediately sew these aprons and they hide themselves. And what does that say when God says, when they say and admit, I heard you, and we hid ourselves because we were naked, when they had put aprons on? They knew that they were guilty, that they knew that they were, that they had sinned, that they were corrupt. They were corrupted. They disobeyed the Lord. And it wasn't that their effort to cover themselves didn't work. And you see, that's communicating to us that man does not have the ability to cover his nakedness when it comes to sin and corruption. Because again, that's what clothing symbolizes. It symbolizes the shame, not because of your body or your, the way you look, your roundness or your shortness or your blemish. It's because you have sinned, because you are corrupt, because you are guilty. That's why God's given us clothes. But you see, man cannot clothe himself. Man's clothing doesn't work. Man's clothing doesn't cover his nakedness due to corruption. And so God has to give it. God has to provide it in order for us to have that nakedness due to our sin and that shamefulness due to our sin covered. Man cannot do it. Man cannot make the clothes necessary to cover his shame due to inward corruption. Needs a spiritual covering, not just a physical covering. And that man cannot do. So God is teaching us again that we need him, that we need his grace to cover our guilt and shame. We can't do it ourselves. And here he's exposing man, the man and the woman, to that very knowledge. They can't do it themselves. Their covering's not going to be adequate. And all man's attempts to this day are not going to be adequate to cover the shame of his corruption due to sin. Only God can do that. And God has done that, as we know, right now in Jesus Christ. But again, Adam has to come to realize that. And so what he does and what the woman does is what? When God says, okay, tell me what you did. Did you eat from the tree? And what does the man say? In verse 12, the woman whom thou gave to me, to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. And so the Lord said to the woman, what is this you've done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me and I did eat. You know, so they're blame shifting, right? That's not confession. That's admission. Yeah, I did it, Lord, but she's the reason why. Yeah, I did it, Lord, but the serpent's the reason why. See, that's not confession. That is admission. Again, Adam and Eve still must learn confession. They must learn to own their sin. So now the stage is set. Now the revelation of the promise of the gospel is set to be introduced. Man knows that he can't do it himself now. He can't cover himself. He's guilty. He's corrupt. He's become guilty. He's become corrupt. And there's nothing that he could do that will change that. God must do it for him. And clearly, this narrative in Genesis chapter 3, if it ended with Eve's saying that the serpent, he beguiled me, there would be a hopelessness and a helplessness. The serpent beguiled me. He tricked me. He caused this to happen to me. And that's it? That's all you have to say? See, God wants us to realize through this narrative that man, woman is helpless. He and hopeless apart from the grace of God. And now we know much better the grace of God in Jesus Christ. He's setting the stage for man to come to realize that he is hopeless and he is helpless apart from the graciousness of God. There's no other way he can do, as they say. He has to come to God. He has to be clothed by God. And what is the clothing that God gives us now to cover our guilt, our shame? It's the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the robe of Christ's righteousness. That's the only way, brothers and sisters, it can happen. It's the only way that we can come before God in prayer, in praise, in worship. There's no other way. We can't do it ourselves. So those are some of the things that we're being taught here in Genesis, and the stage is being set for the gospel of forgiveness in Jesus Christ to be presented for the rest of the Bible. Praise the Lord who provides what is necessary for us to live before Him. Let us pray. Heavenly Lord, we are thankful to that we realize this, that there's nothing that we can do, there's nothing that we can say, there's no way that that we can come into Your presence apart from being clothed by You. We need to be clothed by You. We don't need just an outward cloth, which is a gift from You. Clothes are a gift, but we need the inward covering, the spiritual covering that only comes through Jesus Christ, the robe of His righteousness placed over us. And we pray for each and every one here, each and every one of us, Lord, that we are covered, our sin, our shame, our guilt, our corruption is covered by His shed blood. These things we ask in His name and for His sake. Amen. Let's, in closing, sing hymn 456. 456. Let's rise up to sing this hymn.